that we have in this country, won the gold medal by a nose hair in the men's 100 meter dash, competing in the men's 200 yesterday. He takes bronze, and then we find out after the fact that he was competing with COVID. Now, the Olympics has a different type of procedure this year, different protocols, if you will, where it's really up to the athlete if they want to participate while they have COVID. Noah Lyles, quarantined himself to the best of his ability. He was wearing a mask around. He was doing all the things to be courteous to the other athletes, and he competed with COVID. And to me, I think where we are with COVID, thankfully, I'm going to knock on wood here, is that it's almost more like the flu now than it is the global pandemic that we all lived through. So I see this more as a triumph.
Yeah. So I'll say this, Maggie. It felt irresponsible to run yesterday in the immediacy of the announcement. I also did not know at that point what the Paris protocols were. And lo and behold, they're kind of aren't protocols.
Right.
Like, you're not required to test. There's no quarantine required. Like, there's nothing. Like, you're sick, and when you feel better, you can come back and compete. And we saw him in the mask, and he said he was in a hotel, but he was still like in that little waiting room with other athletes, and he didn't tell them, hey guys, give me my space, because one of his U.S. teammates said yesterday, I didn't know he was sick, and right. I don't care, but I didn't know. So it felt a little wrong-ish that he was still around everybody. But if I may, can I just give an oral history quickly of the emotions of our group chat from yesterday?
Oh, no.
So, because, I mean, it was like 7 minutes altogether.
That was done in private, by the way.
I will not directly quote anyone. I'm just going to skim through the timeline. Okay. So it begins with me going, Noah in 5 minutes, ! So give everybody a heads up to get near their peacock and get ready to watch this
yeah.
race.
Okay.
And then I wrote...
You can say whose it is.
Well, then I wrote...
We'll just talk for EJ here. He gives his consent.
Maggie can't like this entrance because everybody else comes out and just waves and thanks for being here. And then this dude is shot out of a cannon
Lyles,
after his intros,
yeah.
And he's bouncing around. Apparently, he like tomahawked a speaker and broke equipment, and he got a yellow card for that. I didn't know that was a thing in running. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, didn't learn your lesson. You won by a chest hair. Just walk out and take your spot. And then they run the race, and he doesn't win. And I'm thinking, my girl Margaret just got all sorts of vindication here, because not only did he not win, he came in third, and it looked like he was struggling to get to third. So I'm party time for Maggie. I mean, she's going to walk in 6 a.m. Eastern on a Friday. You know, I told you track and field. Take that, Dion, making your track shoes jokes at me. And then Noah Lyles is sitting on the track, like ripping off his running suit. There's medical personnel around him.
Yeah, something's wrong.
And then, so Maggie's...
So wait, maybe we should back up just for a second. For people who don't know why Bogus is bringing me into this, which I have nothing to do with any of the accomplishments of these fine athletes in Paris yesterday, I had shared an opinion that I thought that Noah Lyles really can't call himself the fastest man on planet Earth. You can't take that moniker, even though you won the 100 meter. You won by 5/1000ths of a second. This was not blowing away the field. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe we pumped the brakes a little bit on I'm the greatest of all time, mm-hmm. when it was 5/1000ths of a second. You guys hated that opinion. And by you guys, I mean
America,
plus parts of Canada. I'm sure. And so yesterday, somehow...
The contiguous 48 states.
Somehow, no, I think Alaska got pretty mad at it. But I think yesterday, you thought somehow him coming up with the bronze meant vindication for me.
Yeah, because he's not that fast.
I texted, and it didn't come through right away because I was in a place with no service. If this has been the last few minutes of my career, it's been a pleasure working with you all. Because
that was pre-race, thinking he was going to blow away the field.
Yeah, I thought if he wins the gold, I'm going to have to go in a hovel. I'll go to that darkness retreat and just never come out.
But as he's now sitting on the track in some kind of like distress, you say, I'm in a car, I got to get near a TV. So now I'm doing play-by-play of Noah Lyles' medical emergency. And it looked
I was worried
like,
for him.
Well, and it looked like he had an asthma attack. And yeah. and I think I knew that he had asthma when I typed that, but he was just breathing heavily, sitting down. Then he walked off, no big deal. And then you drop in with, and I stopped paying attention. And then you come in with, he has COVID?
And then it's EJ, yeah.
And
so like now we're all over the place. And I think, Maggie, when you do the math and you factor in running with COVID yesterday and winning the 100 meters probably with COVID in his system, he's the fastest man ever. So this is a huge loss for you this morning.
I feel like I took a big L because, again, I'm looking at this a little bit more as a triumph, and I hope that people aren't offended by that. We know COVID is very serious. Obviously, we lived through it here in New York City where it was devastating, and this is no laughing matter. I do feel like now, though, we are treating it a little bit more like the flu. It's not thought of as the sort of deadly airborne virus that it was back in 2020. And so I do see him doing this as overcoming something. Even if did he deceive people a little by not being more open about it? Were there ways that this maybe could have been handled better? Should he even been out there at all? Is definitely a question. But I find it more like, wow, he still was able to get a bronze medal with COVID and with asthma. Like, this is an unreal achievement for him.
Yeah, I mean, and the serious part of this conversation, at least in my mind, the difference between COVID and any other kind of, like, quote-unquote, like, regular health issue is that we still are not really clear on what COVID can do to you long-term.
Sure, sure.
So, like, you still don't want COVID. Yeah. You still don't want it multiple times, which is where, again, there's room for, was he irresponsible in his decisions to be at the track yesterday at all?
Totally. But, Bogus, you have to, not to let him off the hook, if you are mad about him competing, you're entitled to it. But it was the IOC, the Olympic Committee, who put out these protocols that said it's up to the athlete if they want to compete. What do you think these athletes are going to do? They're waiting their whole lives for 19 and a half seconds.
Yes.
They're not going to let COVID knock them out.
And if you hadn't read this, there have been a couple of other, there was a swimmer that missed a couple of days, won a silver in something, and then came back for a relay like 5 days later. And there were multiple Australian water polo men who tested positive like before the game started, stayed away. Australia let them come back in when they were feeling better, and then they were... He's not even the only person that this has happened to in these games. I've also seen athletes, when they're giving you like those behind-the-scenes shots, wearing masks. I thought that they were doing that to be protected from bugs in these tiny rooms, because you don't want to get sick at the Olympics. But maybe there are even more people that we don't know about who are going through this. But yes, if you look at it just from a physical standpoint...
How did he do this?
He finished third in a longer race
with
a fairly severe like respiratory illness.
Just crazy. You know, I want to just bring in EJ because EJ, I don't know if you're seeing this the same way. Are you looking at it as a triumph or is it an outrage that he did compete yesterday?
I think there's a situation where there's a little bit of both. I feel like for me, I can't crush Noah Lyles because I feel like if I was an athlete in his shoes, there's no way I'm not running that race.
Right.
So I get that. But that is where, to me, the IOC and Team USA needs to protect, A, the athlete from himself, and B, protect the other athletes from Noah Lyles. Like, that, to me, was my biggest beef, was Noah Lyles runs this race, he finishes bronze, he has COVID, that's fine, and now he's not going to compete in the 4x100. But what about these other guys who were around him?
Right, who are still competing. Him? Right, right.
You may have now put the rest of the track and field Olympics, now thank goodness it's almost over, but you may have put the rest of the field at risk. What if somebody else from Team USA can't compete? What if some of these other guys who have been working 4 years to get to this point can't compete because now they have COVID and they're not going to risk running out there, running a 100-meter or 200-meter or 400-meter sprint like Noah Lyles.
No,
so
I totally get it.
That, one of the biggest things I had.
I totally get it. And lo and behold, the Olympics has turned into a super spreader event. Yeah. Everyone go back to your countries and, well, whatever. But that's just like the world we live in now. We're so connected and globalized. But here's the thing, though. Not to go back to the 2020 conversations we were having when, COVID protocols were changing almost like whatever way the wind blew. You really would have to be in close contact with him for somewhat of a, extended period of time. And they were outside, and we do, not the whole time, like they're in a back room area. But I just think that what we know now, I guess I see where the IOC kind of said, all right, we're not going to monitor this thing to the letter of the law. We're just going to have you use your judgment because we've all lived with this now for 4 years.
I would feel a little more comfortable with the decision if we were being told today, on top of him going to a hotel and quarantine by himself and wearing the mask, I'd be a little more comfortable if the other runners knew what was going on and he was kept separate from them before the race.
Got it.
Because the odds of him giving them anything on the track in open air when they're running, when they're, I mean, they're out, they're on the track for what, 90 seconds maybe total, and like getting out there and stretching and getting in the block and all that kind of stuff. That's not where they're going to, he's going to spread it. He's going to spread it in the back room.
Right.
So if you tell me, okay, he had his own space, we kept him private, nobody talked to him, I'd feel a little bit better about this. Because that, again, that's the part, that's the problem with this disease. I have it, I give it to you, no big deal for me and you. And maybe you go home and you give it to your son or your mom, and that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
And it was avoidable to a certain extent.
We did hear that he was wearing a mask wherever he was with other people. But yeah, they were keeping it. I'm curious how people fall on this at 855-212-4227 because, you know, you want to, it's a triumph. You know, you're seeing Americans take silver and gold in this race, and that's a feel-good thing, right? We should be very proud of our athletes when they do this. And then you find out he has COVID. It's like, wait, what? And, you know, that's a really serious topic. EJ, you wanted to get one more thing in.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say, too, which is kind of the other flip side of this, is what Noah did was incredible. And if I was now one of these other athletes who are now have to sit here after training for 4 years and say, I lost to a guy who has asthma and COVID and still could not get a bronze medal.
I should give up.
That also would be killer for me. I would never want to step foot on a track again. I would go find a different discipline because that also is painful. I mean, this is a, you know, 200 meters is not a short sprint. That is a long sprint. And this guy ran it and looked like he was going to die. Like he's pulling he ripped his jersey off.
Yeah,
he's in a wheelchair. I look at that and I'm like, damn, I couldn't be that guy. I mean, what am I doing?
Well, that's probably another reason why he didn't want to let anyone know he had it beforehand, because he probably doesn't want somebody to, you know, file a grievance or try to do something to get him out of the race. It wouldn't have happened. He was totally fine in competing, but.
Are you picking up on what we've learned about EJ in the last like 3 days? He's very sensitive to outside influences. He speed runs through the Super Bowl because he feels judgment from other people. And now he would exactly. And now he'd run himself into retirement because he failed to beat an asthmatic COVID riddled Noah Lyles in the Olympics. Just be you, EJ. Just keep running. Take your time in the supermarket.
Head up high.
Yeah. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks or does. Just live your life.
Especially at the supermarket. Believe me, the nonas and the nanas are not judging it by how long you take to go grocery shopping. 855-212-4227. Where do you fall on the Noah Lyles? Are you looking at him as a triumphant? Is this a triumph yesterday to get bronze despite having COVID? Or are you outraged that he was able to compete and maybe put some other people in harm's way? Okay, we have so much to do. We've got football from last night. Speaking of outrage.
If you say so.
Can you imagine booing a preseason game?
Can you imagine going to a preseason game and having any emotional reaction to what happens on the field?
I get going to a preseason game because I have a very young son, and if he was really into sports, especially football, there's part of me that might take him to the preseason game, which is like 1/100th of the price of a regular season game.
And at the very least, logistically, it's easier. There's less people there, get in and out.
He might get an autograph or two, as opposed to a regular season game where there's no chance that's going to happen or very little chance.
Hadn't thought of it that way. But I booed myself watching the Patriots game last night in my house. So if you're at the game booing, you're doing it wrong.
Booing a preseason game, but did the fans have a right to boo and a reason to boo? We have that. We've also got the latest on what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. We know that's very much of importance to our fans in California. 855-212-4227. It's Maggie Pearl.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bogish is in for Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Bogish is in for Andrew Perloff. We're just having a conversation in the break. And I think we can have this conversation on the air. We're not trying to be, you know, shallow buffoons about this.
Which I usually am. This is how I preface my comment to Maggie. I was like, in a non-piggy way, can I just point out that all of these track and field runners are beautiful on top of being fast?
I have a theory about this. Yes, I think a lot of this is like genetic lottery in kind of every way. Like, you clearly have not just the genetic lottery, you have like the work ethic, the grit, all that. But there is something that goes along with being an athlete, which is you are just so healthy. And yes, these women and the guys, I mean, they're just objectively good-looking people. And I think that it's because they're getting the right amount of sleep. Their diets are, for the most part, impeccable.
Right.
Like, they're glowing from the inside out. Like, their skin's all nice. Like, every part about them is their body and keeping it perfectly in tune. So, of course, your face might look good.
I'm just thinking that there's just better people. Like, I'm also waiting for them to tell me how they are accomplished violinists. Like, they're just good at everything. Running, yeah. Hurdles, instruments, they can paint, and they are beautiful human beings. Like, they're, yeah. Maybe we should be like mad at them for being perfect, more perfect versions of the species.
Don't hate. We gotta elevate the, you know, it's like they've just sort of, they're just sort of better.
They're just better.
I think they're sort of better. Also, I think they don't deal with a lot of the listen, they're human beings, so they deal with BS, but maybe not the same kind of BS that the rest of us deal with, right? Which is like, I got to just stop at Mickey D's or, you know, something that's not known to be like as healthy. Sometimes you just got to do that as a regular person. They're probably counting every almond and, you know, only the nicest smoothies, and there's no compromise with them. Which a lot of us have to make compromises. Our sleep schedules are upside down. It's just part of this job. We can't avoid it.
Speaking of sleeping, this is how deeply entrenched I've become in this morning, this role, filling in for Perloff. I took a nap yesterday, 90 minutes. It felt like 9 hours. When I woke up, I didn't know if it was morning, afternoon, nothing. But I had a dream during this nap. All I remember, though, is me driving,
yeah,
you in the passenger seat,
yeah,
and Kaplan in the back seat. I don't know where we were going. I don't know what car we were driving, but we were in Manhattan in a car. I was driving, and you and Kaplan were shotgun. That's all I got, but that's where we are now. I'm now dreaming about you dopes.
Bogus. That happened yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't a dream. We were driving to Times Square.
I think Kaplan had a pizza in the back. I got to stop doing drugs. Mm.
You need to get a little more sleep.
This is why
we'll never be as beautiful as the Olympians, because they just get to be so in tune with their body.
Yeah, they're outside in the sunlight too all the time.
A lot of vitamin D. Yeah, it's different.
Jerks.
And like, you'll find out, it's like, and they went to Harvard. It's like, cool.
Right.
And also,
right,
their mind is being expanded in these interesting and unique ways.
Right, but they're seeing the world. They're cultured.
And then we get to cheer them on. So we're doing our part also.
Or tear them down because they didn't win by enough.
That also. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Okay, let's get to what the latest is with San Francisco and what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. Day 1 million on the will they, won't they trade him. And the latest, Bogish, and I don't know if this is going to have an impact, but it certainly is a part of the story, which is Kyle Shanahan has had it up to here. Now, if I were Shanahan, I would not be directing my ire to Ayuk. I'm directing it to the front office. Figure this out. Like, that's your job. It's not Ayuk's job to figure out the cap sheet and the finances of the 49ers. It's his job to play football, and then the market is what the market is. So now he wants to get paid just like five other guys on your team who have pulled this in the last 3 years. And by the way, another guy's doing it now in Trent Williams, but he's just more important than Brandon Ayuk, so nobody's talking about it as much. They'll definitely get it figured out. To me, if I'm Shanahan, and this article came out in the San Francisco Chronicle that he's upset with Ayuk, you know, giving him the big bro hug and then being pouty or whatever, turn that to John Lynch and the guys in the front office for how this has dragged out to the point that it has. I don't blame the athlete here.
I don't blame the athlete. I also still believe that there is a solution where everybody just moves on and legitimately hugs and is okay, and that's paying Brandon Ayuk. Like, I don't know that that's still impossible. It certainly seems the heavy favorite is there's a trade. But if he keeps saying no to teams and the Niners keep asking for ridiculous things, we might get to a point where they have to, like, they go so far in opposite directions that they are start coming back towards themselves, and they talk and they figure something out, and then everything is fine again. Like, these things can go away fast when everybody gets what they want. And Kyle Shanahan can be as, you know, PO'd as he wants about the way Ayuk is handling things, but he also knows how good of a football player he is.
Right.
And he knows that
he developed him.
Right. Like, and he knows that his team is technically better with him. So if they keep him and Ayuk gets paid, then they'll be fine.
Right. So who's going to pay Ayuk, though? You're still holding out hope that the 49ers are going to pay him?
Not holding out hope. I don't think that there's a non-zero chance that am I saying that correctly?
Like, sure.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities that they realize that the best course is still to stay together.
Yeah, see, I don't see it. I don't think that they want to pay him, and I think they're thinking about the long-term sort of, and that's part of the front office's job, right? We're looking long-term here, which is why I don't understand why they didn't trade him before the draft. You actually could have had an asset that would have gone from a draft pick to someone tangible on the field, because meanwhile, Ricky Pearsall is got banged up yet again with another shoulder thing yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think, oh, we've got this replacement who's going to step right in, even though they don't exactly play the same type of receiver position, but like, oh, he's going to step right in. Well, you know what happens. Like, nothing is perfect like that. And I just don't, I maintain that the 49ers never wanted to pay him. And I think now they're trying to look for a trade to get themselves out of it and like still come away with someone who can help them this year. But I think they do not want Brandon Ayuk on their cap sheet moving forward. And we could argue whether that's the smart thing to do, right? Do you want to be paying a receiver, you know, $28 to $30 million?
Yeah. And as I've been saying all week, like, to me, he's the guy that has to go. So I still have Kittle and Debo and McCaffrey. Like, I'm okay with this decision in theory. And if somebody's got to get traded or not signed, he's the guy to do it. And that still is the more likely scenario here. And I'm wondering when they go back to the whole, we don't have to give you the benefit of talking to these teams. It obviously behooves them to keep that in play because then they get a better return if the team knows that they've got Ayuk long term. But at some point, they can remind him that they can just send him
wherever
they want
to. But that's not how this particular transaction has been working, because the 49ers want something back. And in order to get something good or decent or whatever, then Ayuk's got to play ball. And that's why he holds the cards here. And he already said no to the Patriots, reportedly. And after watching the Patriots last night, I think I understood why. I'm just kidding. We'll get to the preseason stuff, and you're welcome to weigh in on this now personality conflict, allegedly, reportedly, that's going on, where Kyle Shanahan has been fed up with how Ayuk has been handling the hold-in at 855-212-4227, because I think a lot of 49er fans are also upset with how Ayuk has handled the hold-in. Pat Boyle is with us this morning. Good morning, Patty. How you doing?
Good morning. How are we all?
We're doing great. I mean,
stupendous.
Oh, nice, Pete.
Well, you watched Noah Lyles yesterday?
I did.
You were not happy?
Not happy
with the result?
Did you delete your tweet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
About loser energy?
No. Okay. I think he did have loser energy. COVID or not, if you have COVID and you know that there's a chance you're not going to feel well, by the way, 20-second race. But if you know you're not going to feel well running a 20-second race, you're asthmatic, you have COVID, totally fair. maybe then don't run out for your intros like you just won the Super Bowl before you even ran the race.
Right.
If you think there's a chance, hey, I might not be at my best in a race that's going to be decided by a half a second or even less,
maybe
don't do that.
Tone down on the yeah. pregame intro. In case you were watching it yesterday, they introduce all the track athletes one by one. And they introduce Lyles last because he's kind of like the big star. And he came out and basically did like kind of a victory lap before the race even started. And now knowing that he had COVID, it's like, how did you even muster the energy? But you know what that is, Pat. It's adrenaline. Maybe a little intimidation factor, trying to get in people's heads a little bit. Like, I'm here, the track is mine.
We're trying to psych himself up.
He spent half of his energy before the actual race began. So
it was a big intro.
Look, it's a very courageous effort to run a 20-second race that when you have COVID and you're asthmatic. But, I mean, if he wins a race, he's not doing that. So made it all about himself in a losing effort. To me, that's just... Oh, it's a loser energy.
Didn't it remind you a little of Apollo Creed in Rocky IV when he's fighting Drago? And obviously, we know what happened at the end. Spoiler, Drago kills him. So this obviously is not an apples to apples.
I was going
to
watch
cross that off.
Yeah, it's okay. Rocky gets revenge, guys.
Well,
and then he has a Cold War.
You haven't seen it yet by now.
It came out in 1989. But anyway, Apollo Creed comes out with like the big Uncle Sam outfit on, and he's doing the whole big show. And then Drago just like punches him in the face. It reminded me a little of that, you know? It's like you got to play it up a little bit.
Let's clarify. Punches him in the face multiple times.
Oh, they should have stopped the fight. I'm with you. It was a travesty. How this happened on American soil. I mean, we lost Apollo Creed. He's one of the world's greatest boxers.
That's
He's a champion. Still gets me. Pat.
So I know you guys talk about getting to the preseason games. Here's a little bit on them. By the way, how dare you guys be mad at people for sitting at MetLife Stadium in the pouring rain for a preseason game or for booing at Patriots-Panthers, a game which is definitely a chance to be a Super Bowl preview.
You know, yeah, they booed. Are you getting into this or do you want me to set it up?
No, you go ahead.
So, yeah, it's raining all across the East Coast. The weather's been horrible across the country. You know, we're feeling the effects of this tropical storm, Debbie, or I don't know which one we're up to now, but I hope everybody stays safe. I know in the Carolinas it's really, really bad and down south. So it's just driving rainstorm both places, New England and in New York. And the Patriots trotted out Drake May for one series. One series. Now, that's their right. It's bad weather. Who knows? Gerard Mayo doesn't really have a great explanation for why they did this, but Bailey Zappe played like three quarters of the game,
like
basically.
They were mad at him.
Yeah, right. And the fans booed when they saw Zappe come out for the second half. And I think it's ridiculous to boo a preseason game, but I do get it. Like, show us a little more of the future of the franchise, please.
I mean, at least he played at all. Patriots beat the Panthers, by the way, 17-3. Bryce Young didn't play for the Panthers. I mean, if there's anybody that probably should be playing in a preseason game, it would be Bryce Young. But again, with the weather, understandable. Both rookie QBs for the Patriots did. You mentioned Drake May, only one series, only threw three passes, completed two of them for 19 yards. But how about this? QB controversy has already arrived in New England after their sixth-round pick, Joe Milton of Tennessee, made a couple of highlight reel plays, 4 of 6 for 54 yards and a touchdown in the air, ran 5 times for 22 yards, including a play that made the rounds on social media where he basically ran 250 yards to avoid sacks before picking up 13 actual yards. And after the game, you think what we do isn't powerful. How about Patriots new head coach Gerard Mayo addressing sports talk radio rumors of Milton making a run at Drake May's job?
I don't even listen to that stuff. But honestly, look, Joe went out there. We know he has a big arm. He has the athleticism. He's getting better with his reads every single day. He has natural leadership ability. But once again, it's not just about one game. It's about the full body of work. So you can come out here and play well, but you also have to do it on a day-to-day basis.
Gerard Mayo, by the way, did answer a question in terms of players who exceeded expectations and mentioned Joe Milton. So
he seems to like this guy.
And he's putting the pressure on Drake May.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are big Tennessee fans were like, yeah, keep telling us more about the Joe Milton in practice versus Joe Milton in the game stuff, which might not be fair. But I don't know how they're going to handle this May thing. And he obviously was the guy who's drafted third overall, but of the guys who were drafted, he was sort of known as the project.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no urgency to start him whatsoever. Milton starting over him would be an all-time upset, but I think they're going with Jacoby Brissett for like at least half the season. Brissett started the game.
Not even Zappy hour?
Well, as Perloff says, he is Zappy curious. His new lane. No, I don't think Zappy. I don't think Zappy's going to be a thing.
No.
Yeah? No more Zappy hour?
No.
We're done with that? If Jacoby Brissett and then the rookies?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
And the Giants did beat the Lions 14-3. I think Lions fans were reminded that they have no prayer of winning a Super Bowl if Jared Goff gets hurt because, man, Nate Sudfeld stinks. 13 of 24 for 96 yards and a pick. And I get it, doesn't have the offensive line out there, doesn't have Amon or Saint, but none of those their star players played, but he's horrible.
Giants are the same way, too, so.
Well,
he should have had.
Well, the Giants aren't a Super Bowl contender. Out of all the Super Bowl contending teams, and I know backup quarterbacks, you know, we're not going into a season saying, oh, well, you know, this backup quarterback can win a Super Bowl. But after watching like 75 different quarterbacks play last year, you would think maybe it's important to have someone that's capable of doing the job.
You know, it's a fair point. They do have Hendon Hooker, though, also, who looked fine.
Yes.
Again, it's backups versus backups, and he's able to use his legs, and maybe they think that he would actually be the guy.
Okay. And the legend of Tommy Cutlet's return for the Giants. Tommy DeVito came in for an equally underwhelming Drew Lock. He went 8 of 15 for 92 yards. Daniel Jones, coming back from his torn ACL last year, did not play. Most starters for both teams did not play. And our buddy Jerry Jones just has not learned. Spoke with Cowboys reporters after Dallas's joint practice with the Rams and was asked whether or not there's urgency on getting a deal done for CeeDee Lamb. He said no and then was asked to explain.
I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said Nobu 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
I was at Nobu 2 days ago.
Yeah. Did he also say something like, I went to high school, I went to college, I don't even know what day it is.
Natural gas.
Don't you feel like being around Jerry Jones, you would get into a lot of those moments where everyone's laughing but no one's sure why?
Yes.
Like, he's the boss, so he starts to laugh, then you've got to laugh. And all of a sudden, we're sitting around laughing. It's like, what's so funny? He's like, I don't know. Like, everyone's just la-di-da, three Johnny Walkers in.
Yeah.
Let's run the team.
CeeDee Lamb retweeted, basically, quote-tweeted, you know, a clip of that LOL. Micah Parsons retweeted it and became very widespread on social media last night.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get more into this later in the show, but a certain guest of ours earlier this week may have called it. The Cowboys weren't signing any of these guys this year. And that's a heck of a strategy to go in when you say you're all in. Bob.
Yeah, and then we'll get to some baseball next hour. But obviously the big story from yesterday, 17 points down, game on the line. LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant close out the game, lead USA to a comeback over Serbia, 95-91. They take down Jokic and Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was brilliant, was basically like showing up Carmelo Anthony on the sideline doing his celebration. Team USA wins it. It'll be USA versus France in the gold medal game tomorrow afternoon, a rematch of the Tokyo Olympics final. That's a 3:30 p.m. Eastern tip, 9:30 p.m. in Paris. France beat Germany in the semis, 73-69. Gershon Yabusele led the way for France.
My favorite.
With 17 points. Wembanyama, by the way, just 11 points on 4 of 17 from the field. So, honestly, I'm kind of done with hearing about how Wemby's a top five player already. I mean, you can't score. You 4 of 17 against Daniel Tice and Mo Wagner. Give me a break.
Well, he is in the gold medal game. I mean, he's obviously doing something.
Yeah,
right?
He's like the third best player on his team yesterday. Look, Wembanyama might go down as one of the greatest players of all time, but let's let him actually get there. Yeah. I mean, again, the guy was so freaking brilliant last year where in the NBA where we've seen one player can kind of carry a team, and the Spurs went, what, 14-68? How bad were they?
Yeah, but he won Rookie of the Year unanimously. I mean, I don't think you can hold the team's record against a rookie. Okay, you want to get into year two, year three. I think then it starts to become a little bit more like, okay, when is this guy going to actually make the playoffs? But year one, don't you get a little bit of a leeway, a little grace, Pat?
No, not if people are telling me that he is already one of the best players on the planet. No. No chance.
Did LeBron make the playoffs his first season?
I would say absolutely yes.
I don't think he did.
He did not.
What?
It's the first year. He wasn't an all-star that year. Nope. He didn't make the playoffs that year. Like, I think you get a year, even if you're generational. Air quotes.
LeBron didn't make the playoffs in his first year?
I don't think so. They fired Paul Silas, I think, right after. They had to do some tweaks on the roster.
Jeez. All right, really quickly, speaking of hoops, NBA Christmas Day schedule is reportedly out. What do we think of this lineup? Speaking of the Spurs and Wembanyama, I cannot wait to boo him when they go to the Madison Square Garden and take on the Knicks.
Victor Wembanyama?
That'll be the first tip. T-Wolves at the Mavericks, 76ers at the Celtics, Lakers at the Warriors. So LeBron and Steph, and then Nuggets at the Suns. I think either way, the NFL is on Christmas.
Dynamite,
now.
Who's playing in the NFL?
Exactly.
Man, the NFL just came in and just stole the NBA's lunch. Like, they just stuffed them in a locker when it comes to Christmas. Like, oh, we'll play on 3 days rest. It's like, is that smart?
And
like,
LeBron and Steph isn't exactly LeBron and Steph of 3 years ago.
That's true, but, you know, we'll get into yesterday's game. That was unbelievable. I don't know if people were watching this or if maybe you just caught the highlights. It was on in the middle of the day. It really was a throwback. It was just amazing to watch what they did in overcoming that 17-point deficit. We'll get into that even more coming up next. Thank you, Pat. It's Maggie and Perloff. Andrew Bogish in for Perloff this morning. Well, everyone was boogieing for real yesterday after Team USA pulled out an improbable win against Serbia to head to the gold medal game against France. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Bogish is in for Andrew Perloff today. And it was crunch time for Team USA. They were pushed. It's hard to beat any team three times in basically a month. And Serbia brought it to Team USA. They were down by 17. It took an unreal fourth quarter. And there's so many ways to divvy up the accolades, like the praise, and there's maybe some blame, I think, for Steve Kerr for how they got into this mess in the first place and found themselves down by double digits in the fourth quarter. The rotations made no sense when it becomes crunch time. And finally, Steve Kerr in the fourth quarter did figure it out that, hey, when you're down and you really got to win a game, how about we go with LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, and Devin Booker. And that was the five that brought it home for Team USA, Bogish. It was a fabulous win and really like gave me goosebumps to watch them come together and turn it on like that.
Maggie, this was also very personal for me. This is kind of like my Noah Lyles to a certain extent, because when you were out, EJ and I had some fairly significant back and forths about, because this is the middle of the tune-up games where they were not winning in dominant fashion, and EJ was worried that this was sending bad, you know, messages, bad voodoo, bad mojo for the actual games that matter. What's wrong with the program? This is why you have to pick things differently. Where's Jalen Brunson? And I said they've won the last four gold medals. They haven't lost anything yet. Like, there's no reason to be worried. So they have to win the gold medal for me, for nothing
not
else.
Now. Okay.
So when they're down 17, and then it's only 6, but then it's 16, and then it's only 7, but then it's 14, and it's 13 the whole to begin the fourth quarter, like, I almost quit to not have to come in today and deal with EJ. So thank you, Steph Curry and Joel Embiid, for shunning not just Cameroon, but France as well to play for the U.S., and Steph and Curry and KD and Booker to rescue me from EJ having all the bragging rights.
Man, I didn't realize how personal this was. Let's hear from Kevin Durant. He says this is the best team he's ever played on.
Yeah, special group of guys. You know, it's just the time is winding down. We got one more game, and it's kind of bittersweet, you know, because we are planning a gold medal game, an opportunity to get another gold, but we're not going to be together for, you know, once we finish here. And it was just a joy being in the locker room with these guys, on the bus, just talking life with these guys, and then hooping on the floor with them. Like, just the best team I've ever been a part of, and I want us to finish it off with a gold.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they just survived their best test. We'll see what happens against France. They match up a lot better against France. But, you know, what I really have a question about for this, basketball, this was really a team effort for them to come together. I don't know. They would not have won this game without Joel Embiid. They would not have won this game without Kevin Durant's defense. They would not have won this game without LeBron James taking the ball to the basket. Signature LeBron James style. If he didn't have the gray in the beard, you would have thought that this was 2016, 2012 LeBron James. They would not have won this game if Booker wasn't playing defense the way he was and picking up guys 94 feet. They needed every, and Steph Curry hitting every three and doing all the great Steph Curry things that he is known for. Who does this game belong to? Like, it belongs to all of them. And I heard Dwayne Wade on the broadcast say, if they win this game, and this is when it was still in the balance, this will be known as the Steph Curry game. I'm like, you could say that. This could also be the Joel Embiid game. This is one of the best stretches I've seen Embiid play maybe ever. It was 2.5 minutes of him hitting three shots in a row and coming up with a big defensive play. Had a bad defensive play later on in that late in the fourth quarter.
Could have grabbed a rebound at some point.
Somebody grab a freaking rebound. But you could have said Kevin Durant forcing a backcourt violation because of his awesome defense and stripping Bogdanovich of the ball in a different spot. LeBron, again, just putting his head down and going to the rim instead of settling for jumpers, which got them into a bad spot in the first place. It was just an incredible win. I was so impressed.
I don't know how to compare it to NBA accomplishments, but it matters so much to them, it appears, because I think they, again, did one of their cool posed post-game pictures on the steps outside the arena, whatever that is. Like, it matters so much to them. It's got to be high on the list of things that they've done, because it was, I had kind of given up. Like, I knew there'd be a comeback, and there were like three mini ones, and Serbia kept having an answer.
Yeah.
So, like, and then even all of a sudden, it was a 2-point game and Serbia didn't foul for some reason. So, like, it was, I still thought, like, oh, maybe they could still lose this game, and here comes EJ. So, like, it was just remarkable that they won. And in the end, it was like everything that matters to me about these guys, the pros being in the Olympics. Like, they all showed up.
Yep.
They all showed off. Because there were six of them, they refused to lose to anybody.
Yeah.
You can argue, like, okay, they should have been down and they should have defended a three, like, maybe put a hand up on defense at some times. But then that fourth quarter was magic.
Yeah,
they
really
just
was.
Decided we're not going to lose.
And I think the big part of this, and I've called this season the empty the tank season for LeBron, and he looks like he's found the fountain of youth, so maybe I'm wrong about this, and he'll play another 5 years. But there was this sort of feeling, and I don't know if it's conscious or if it's subconscious with these guys, that this might be the last big achievement that they have. You know, is this the last quote-unquote title that they're going to win? If you're LeBron and if you're Steph Curry and if you're Durant, quite frankly, you know, is this sort of your last, is this going to be the last line on the resume? Because making it to the Western Conference Finals and losing to the Nuggets in the first round, either by a sweep or a gentleman's sweep, is not making the Hall of Fame induction bullet points, but another gold medal, and the first one for Curry, definitely will. And I think there's like that innate drive to win and they're competitive and all of that. But is there also maybe an idea, hey, we're the veterans, we're the old guys here, and this may be our last chance at the glory. And you see Carmelo Anthony, you mentioned, Pat mentioned it before, Carmelo Anthony sitting front row. If Carmelo Anthony probably would have given his life savings to get back on that court one more time.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. He wanted to be out there so badly. He's talking trash to the Serbians. And I think that maybe do LeBron and Steph see that? And it's like, man, and KD, thank God I get to still be out here and keep doing this. And I cannot, and this could be my last big thing.
And I said this the other day. I mean, this, we can't ask for more from these guys. And Durant and LeBron in particular are good at annoying us.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And Embiid.
Yeah, but sometimes they deserve the heat they get. Other times, in my estimation, they don't. But this is all accolades, all hat tips, yep, all bows, all thank yous. They're over 35. They don't even need to be there. They're there. They care. And they're playing ridiculously well.
This felt like the gold medal game.
Yeah.
You know, the way they were celebrating, the relief and the joy. You feel terrible for Serbia. They got crushed, but they looked crushed because they had it, and then they just started missing shots at the end. And you're right, USA started playing a little bit better defense. Were you watching that yesterday, and what'd you think? Was that LeBron and Steph and KD's last chance at some championship glory? 855-212-4227. Coming up. All right, what's going on with the Cowboys? We'll dive into that next. Go, Boo.